Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 131. Our guest, Bonnie Greiner, started her speaking journey 35 years ago, where she was asked to talk about her Jewish upbringing in front of a church full of Mennonite women. As her relationship with Christ bloomed, God continued to ignite within her this passion to encourage and equip young moms. She not only raised 8 of her own children, but lovingly feeds into her 14 grandchildren. You'll be inspired by her words of wisdom as she shares the top habits in her household that were effective, as well as a few parenting changes that she'd make if she could do it all over again. So don't forget to check out our show notes at Bible2School.com before heading out today. Bonnie mentions several resources that will be linked here for you. As you'll soon hear, Bonnie is a storehouse of parenting wisdom and would just love to connect with others in your circle. So if you find this episode helpful, and I know you will, go ahead and share this with at least one friend. Lastly, we're looking for some listeners with generous hearts to join our podcast impact team, which will help cover our podcast expenses so we can continue on the air. To learn more, visit our website, Bible2School.com. That's Bible, the number 2School.com, and click on the resources tab. Are you ready to learn some really great parenting tips? Join my conversation with Bonnie now. Well, hello, Bonnie. Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast.
Thank you.
You are a motivational speaker, and I was so blessed to sit under a few of your teachings, one during a mom's group at my church and another at a women's event. So what I know is that you have a very large family and some pretty awesome godly wisdom up your sleeves.
Well, thank you. Yes. My husband and I have 8 children, all adults, all on their own, all married, and we have 14 grandchildren and 1 expected in March.
Woo! That's amazing. How exciting. So to start off, I heard you absolutely love books. So do you have a favorite children's book you can tell us about?
I have several. I posted recently on my Facebook page about my children and grandchildren's favorite book, which is called Socks for Supper. Not a lot of significance from that book, but I think they would agree that their absolute all-time favorite was one that I would suggest for all parents, and this is the perfect place to talk about it, and it's called Hero Tales by Dave and Netta Jackson. There's a series of 4 in the grouping, and they talk about children, just like our children, who grow up to fulfill God's destiny and how that changes the world.
Oh, wonderful. A series of 4. Are they chapter books or picture books?
They are books to be read aloud.
Okay.
So each person is featured for 4 or 5 pages with a photo or a drawing of the person and questions for discussion. And they are fabulous for elementary age all the way down to preschoolers.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Okay. So I'm going to our listeners, link that in the show notes so we have easy access to check those out. Thank you, Bonnie. So you have such a heart for moms in particular. Where did this come from? And how did you decide to use this passion then to encourage others?
I've been thinking about this. I think about it quite often. And the conclusion that I come to is the verse in the Bible that says that God gives us the desires of our heart, I know can also usually be taken 2 different ways. But in my case, he gave me the passion. Mm. The first time I was asked to speak, it was because I was a Jew in an area that really didn't know any Jews. And I was asked to speak in a Mennonite church about being Jewish. And the response was so favorable. And people asked for my phone number and wrote me letters. Those were the days before the internet. And I thought, wow, it was a large group of Christian women. And that's where it started. I think women need women.
Amen. That's wonderful. When did that begin?
Oh, it was many years ago. It was probably at least 35 years ago. And I've been speaking ever since.
And the Lord has continued to give you more passion in that area?
More passion with each year.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So I recently read part of your admonishment comes across on Facebook, which is great for those who don't, they will want to follow you. Is it Bonnie Griner or what's the name of your page for followers?
There were so many Bonnie Griners, I had to use my maiden name. So in between the Bonnie and Griner is my maiden name, Levy, L-E-V-Y.
Okay. So if they follow Bonnie Levy Griner, they'll see some of your tips and tricks there. Okay. So my next question comes from one of the posts you had on there. And you talked about some of the best habits you developed as a mom. And there was one in particular that got quite a response. Can you share what it was and then how that all started for you?
Yes, I'm glad you asked this. The one in particular that got so much response was actually a quote from Toby Mack. And the quote is that when you keep criticizing and being angry with your children, they don't stop loving you. They stop loving themselves. I was an angry, tired mom. And I was yelling at my children way too often. And it's never okay to do that because that's exactly what happens. They start feeling shame. They start feeling embarrassment. It's never okay. And so I asked God to help me with my anger. And He's always faithful. And I was able, with the help of a pastor's wife and a book I was reading in prayer, to get over that. And that was huge. I would suggest for any mom out there, and I know there's more than just me, dealing with an anger issue, to seek some help from your pastor, pastor's wife, a friend, someone that would know to help you and pray and believe in God's ability to help you conquer that. But I'd like to also say a second habit that was probably due to the first. I felt so guilty about the anger. And I realized there'd be nights I'd go to bed, I'd be laying down and I'd think, I don't know that I ever affirmed a child today. Maybe I wasn't angry, but did I even affirm them? Did I hug them? Did I kiss them? And at this point, we had 5 or 6 children. And I thought, I can't remember. And so before lunch every day, from that night on, I hugged and kissed and affirmed each child before I allowed myself to eat lunch, which sounds ridiculous, but we were a homeschooling family. We were all together and I liked to eat. So it worked really well. So I would suggest those 2 habits.
Wow, that's very intentional. Okay, so I have a few questions about everything you just said. The first one, so anger, I can relate. It resonates with me. Now, my kids are preteen or teen. So we're out of that stage of really young, under the age of 5 for me. It got a little bit more manageable once they went to school. For you, it would have been different. They were always home.
Right.
But I just remember sometimes sitting there crying out to the Lord, asking for help because I was so frustrated and I needed an answer in that moment. Like, what do I do with these screaming, arguing, crying kids? But the truth is, you said, we aren't alone. So I love that you said, reach out to your pastor or a mentor or what have you, because in those moments, it probably would have been good for me to call someone.
It would be good. And I also learned to do something physical. So if I felt myself getting really frustrated, I literally took a step back and said, Lord, please help.
Yeah.
And he's a prayer away for whatever we need.
Amen. What was that book that you referenced that helped you during that time?
Yeah, it's called 10 Curses That Block the Blessing. And it lists 10 things that are pretty common that keep us from really being the person we want to be and fulfilling the goal for which God created us to do. And I can send you more information about that.
Sure, sure. That's great. So my other question related to the affirming, which I love that. Okay, so maybe this is a silly question, but there are 365 days in a year. Do you come up with 365 unique things, or could you kind of repeat them in different ways for each kid?
I love that question. No, there were days I actually had to pray about anything good to say other than your eyes are brown, which they had nothing to do with. And so it might be very little things. I appreciate the way you brushed your teeth without being asked. Or I could use some help setting up some lunch. Would you be willing to help me? And then I'll say, oh, I appreciate your willingness. So again, I asked God for help. And yes, you're right. And believe it or not, I only did that Mondays through Fridays. So that cut down on the 365 days.
Okay, good to know. I love that so much. So now looking back over your parenting journey, what are about 5 things, give or take, that you would definitely say, these are do-overs. Let's do this again.
Love, love, love the question. I learned to talk about God every day without being a sermon, just bringing him into our lives. I was a brand new Christian. Christianity was new for me. The New Testament was new for me. Being raised a Jew, I had so much to learn. And so I really was enthusiastic about what I was learning when I was reading the Bible. And so I would say things to my children, isn't it amazing that God created every animal and then had a man to name them? Or a sunrise would be beautiful. Look, children, look what the artist painted today. So I would do that again. I would bring God into every aspect of our life. And it made a big difference. God became very real. Something else I would do, we've just talked about, I would affirm each child. But in addition to that, I prayed for them privately, but over them, so that they could hear my prayer. And depending on the day, I would pray certain things, maybe depending on how their day went. So it was usually in the evening and it became a precious time. Two of our favorite verses I'd like to share, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. And then Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow. I wanted my children to learn that they were born for a much bigger reason than who they are, unless they're looking at it as in who they are in God. Another thing I could bring up right away, if Savara, is Bible memory. So important. This is the right podcast. Bible verses, teach them. Teach them. Have them memorize. All eight of our children went through an Awana program. Are you familiar with Awana?
I did Awana, and I can thank the Lord that it was hidden in my heart without me knowing the importance until I was an adult.
Yes, and that's all eight of my children can still sing some of the Awana songs. They, in fact, a couple of them even can go chapter by chapter from what they memorized in Romans. So I would suggest Awana if that's available, but you just mentioned it, hide them in your heart. We had so many in those days, it was cassette tapes and CDs.
Oh yeah.
Hide them in your heart. In the car, we would be playing them and the children memorized verses by singing. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Something else we did, and I thank my husband for this. He taught the children to work hard and they worked hard together. And when you work hard together, you play hard. And so it became even more enjoyable. Work times became enjoyable. Playing times became enjoyable. But he also taught them to serve well. And he taught them filter through which they saw life should be how they could serve. And when you do that, and when you talk about that, there's really no entitlement. It's not about them. And so we were able to raise children with a servant's heart.
Well, and that ties right into your two verses, because it's talking about I've been crucified with Christ. It's not about me.
Correct.
So look how you and your husband just did that.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. God is good.
Yes.
All right. So did you give me four or five? I'm off track here.
I gave you four. Do we have time for one more?
Sure. Tell me.
Okay. This might be quite controversial, but I could not find in the New Testament, and I knew it wasn't in the Old Testament, that sibling rivalry was okay. So I decided by baby number four that we would not have sibling rivalry, that we were a team, that we were an army. And I called our home Base Camp. And we had an army who always had each other's backs. And so we would learn to communicate when there were differences, but it was not okay, the biting, the fighting, any of that. We had already had stitches for all of that. We've been through that when they were really young, 5 years old and under. And I thought this is not the best way to live.
Yeah.
So I would strongly suggest at least looking at it and considering it. It might be very common. It doesn't mean it has to happen in your home.
Yeah. Now, when you would see conflict arise, I'm sure ultimately Correct. The goal was to have them figure it out, but would you immediately go in and mediate, or how would you kind of approach that?
I really had to immediately go in and mediate at the beginning, and depending on their age, yes, it did involve me, but it seemed by the time they were 5, 6, 7, they learned basic terms to communicate to get the point across that there was an issue and they could work it out. And I was always open to help them. Did I always want to? Of course not. It could happen many times a day, but they learned. And usually by 6, 7, and 8, they could take care of conflict resolution, which I didn't even realize at the time would help them so much when they were out of my home as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that because, you know, oh, there's so many amazing Armor of God studies out there.
Yes.
But what Christians sometimes, I didn't until recently realize, Satan has a very strategic plan against each
yes.
of us. And we need to armor up and be sure
True.
We need a very strategic plan against the devil's attacks to recognize his tactics.
Amen.
To say, nope, not today, Satan. And so what you did there was pivotal, I believe, because it was giving them tools to not allow that, what do you call it? Like the disunity is a huge tactic of the enemy and you aren't going to let it happen.
Thank you for putting it that way. Yes, that's exactly right. More moms need to hear that.
Yes, yes. Because then it, again, it comes off of us. It's not about us. It's really about who's the real enemy here.
And that's 100% so powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So I love that you were teaching your kids that without even realizing it at first. That's beautiful. And I also love your Base Camp Army. I love how really everything reminds me of Deuteronomy 6, four yes. through nine, which is our theme verse for Bible to School, which is training up children in the way they should yes. go and putting it on their foreheads and writing it on the door frames and all the things, right? Like that's what you yes. and your husband were intentional about.
And as a Jew, I was raised with those verses and they were very important. So they taught them to be very important in our lives and they became that way.
Yeah, that's really great. Wonderful.
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
How do you pray?
Today's question came from one of our Bible to School children sitting in a program with his friends. Prayer was the topic for the day. And because prayer was a totally new concept for this little boy, he turned to his friend, who he knew attended church, and simply asked, "How do you pray?" His friend kindly said, "Repeat after me, 'Our Father, who art in heaven.'" And he led this little boy in prayer by example. What a beautiful picture painted of a child discipling another child. When our children have Christian friends in their lives, they can confidently encourage and equip each other on their faith journey.
Okay, so now we've talked about five things that you would definitely do again. Is there anything specific that you would definitely do differently?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. I did not give my children enough options, enough choices to make themselves. I think it was because I had pretty many, I could make excuses, lots of children homeschooling, but I should have had them make decisions, even if there was something as simple as, would you like to wear this today or that today? Would you prefer to go to this play park or that play park? And I did not do that. I made those decisions for them. And that was definitely wrong. That's the biggest change I would make.
Okay, I hear you. But you had how many kids? Eight?
Well, I know, but it would have been simple. It was never something I even thought about until they became teenagers. And one of my teenagers said, "Mom, you know, you really need to learn to let us make up our own minds about some things."
Oh, God bless.
Yeah. So that was a learning opportunity.
Okay. So I'm wondering, like, okay, so do you take a vote then? I mean, the majority wins.
You know, by that point, they were able to get along and communicate. And so some of them would even say, "Let's just go with what he had to say. Sounds fine." They really do. It really does become something that helps in every situation when they learn to be an army and working together for the good of the family. So it even came into play in making decisions.
Amen. Yeah, that's beautiful. So at Bible to School, we teach the Bible to elementary age kids. So it's second, third, and fourth grade. And we're always looking for ways to engage them with the Word of God, kind of like even in ways like you said, by just pointing things out like the beautiful sunrise or the creatures that were made. And so you've already kind of answered this question, but I'm just curious, when your kids were young, in what other ways did you engage them with specifically the Bible and then worship?
We did a lot of dancing in our free time. We had free time about every 2 hours while we were homeschooling, and that was turning on worship music and dancing just for fun. And again, in the car, it was always a tape or CD playing with Hide Him in Your Heart, some kind of Bible memory. But then on Mondays, for 15 Mondays in a row, we had specific Bible memory that dealt with godly character traits. And we would do that after Christmas for 15 Mondays, just 5 or 10 minutes memorizing scriptures that had to do with diligence or being a cheerful worker. And we memorized a couple a week. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we lived them out. They got stickers if they were caught being good in that particular godly character. And we gave prizes. And that was a wonderful time. And the children still remember that as well.
Oh, wow. That's really neat. So after they got so many stickers, was there like a prize bin or did you go get ice cream or what did that look like?
Oh, it's so embarrassing. I'm just being so transparent here. I don't like to cook. So I made the same 20 meals every month for 20 years. Every month we would have the same meals. And so the prize was they got to pick a meal that we would make over the weekend. And that was about the biggest, best prize I could have offered.
That is awesome. Listen, if you're on a budget and the kids are that excited about choosing the meal, go for it.
So that was it.
Oh, that's really neat. So Bonnie, we know there are going to be times when our kids encounter difficulties. Like you said, in this world, right? We're going to have trials.
Yes.
Crucified for Christ. It's not me who lives, but him. So how did you create a safe place in your home so that your kids knew that they could just openly share with you?
These are such fabulous questions. The evening prayer time became part of that answer. So when I was praying over them, with my hands laid on them, each child, I said, anything we should talk about. I also had a list of 10 questions, which I would be glad to share with you, that we asked, my husband and I asked once a year to really feel their heart, because it's always a matter of the heart. I'd be happy to share those questions with you. And then something else that, and I again credit my husband, but on the date of their birthday. So if someone's born February 1st, on the first of each month, my husband did his best on that date to be alone with the child doing something, maybe sitting in the backyard, maybe, you know, I don't know, working on a wood project, doing some farming. So that 12 times a year, which doesn't sound like much, I understand people could think that's silly, but it was 12 more times a year than they would have been alone together,
yeah,
even for 20 minutes or so. And that was a great time to share. My husband's very patient. And so it was a really comfortable experience for the children.
Wow. So you had, that was actually 8 times a month.
That's right. And it didn't always happen, but farming together, we farm. And so there were always opportunity for that one-on-one.
Wow. That's really neat. So it's not like they had to go spend money, but it was just that one-on-one intentional.
Right.
Man, there's a huge theme throughout this conversation, and it's intentionality I'm hearing.
Amen. That's 100% true.
Yeah. Well, so now you're a grandma and God has blessed you guys with even more children to love on. So I would just be curious, what is God teaching you in this season?
It's such a blessing. It makes me sad to think that the world looks at getting older with a lot of negativity. It's such a blessing to have a longer history with God. And that's exactly what more days on this earth are. They are a greater and longer history with God. So I get to share with more women, I get to share with more children, with neighbors, with people at church, God's love for them. And I can share from my own life the long history I have with his faithfulness. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to share with people about a life that was lived for a long time and loved well by God.
What a glass half full perspective. That's beautiful. I feel like that whole sentence could be shared with the, you know, we all have certain Debbie Downers in our life,
yes,
so to speak, that just everything is negative and complaining. And it's like, oh, that was a breath of fresh air. Thanks, Bonnie.
Good. Praise the Lord. Good.
Yes. Amen. Because we all know you've had trials in life. We know that,
yes,
it hasn't always been roses and sunshine for you. And you can still say, yet, God is good and faithful. And look what he's
always
given us. That's beautiful. So I feel like you've already mentioned several resources with our listeners. You certainly have plenty. I will link them in the show notes.
Good.
But as far as other than your Facebook page we mentioned, is there any other way to access your resources and the wisdom you share?
There is, and it's a new way, and I'm so excited about it. It's a monthly newsletter that will be emailed for moms, sharing a lot of the tips that I've shared today, but a lot more of the exact tips that they need to handle what I've been talking about. In other words, sibling rivalry, it doesn't just happen. So what are the tips? And each month it's just one newsletter based on a specific subject. And February's topic is decluttering your life and your home for more time with your children. So I will send that link to you as well.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. That would be awesome. And then in that link, it would be instructions on how to sign up or whatever, like subscribe, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. So lastly, and not least, would you give us some words of encouragement? Like every listener today has already fed on some tips and tricks you have given us.
Right.
But do you have one? Like knowing that we have parents and grandparents, some are caretakers, neighbors, and teachers. What one last thing can you say for us?
I do. And it actually, what I'm about to share is not a direct quote, but it was actually written in a book authored by Anne Lindberg. Most of your listeners may not be aware of her. She was one of the earliest to fly planes, and her firstborn son was 20 months old when he was kidnapped and unfortunately was never lived. So she wrote a really interesting book. And something she said in there is that every single thing we do, no matter if it's for parents, for children, for neighbors, every single thing we do is not lost on God. It adds up just like a perfect puzzle in his plans for us. If we believe that he orders our steps, which I know your listeners believe, then every little thing from nursing a baby to helping a neighbor with their lawn or cooking a meal all adds up into God's perfect plan. And we may not realize it here. It might be something that we'll realize later, but it's not just a worthless or a mundane life that we're living. Everything matters.
Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Well, finally, Bonnie, I would just love if you could close our time together in prayer. Would you do that for us?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that you have created technology like this that we can share all across the airwaves. Lord, I pray that you would use the verses shared today, the conversation shared today, to help, I guess, women, people listening of all ages and stages of life, to use how the Holy Spirit will share with them to better fulfill their destinies in Jesus Christ. Lord, there's nothing we can ever do to repay what you did for us, but I pray that each of us would only do and say what will ultimately glorify you, and we will forever praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bonnie.
You are welcome.
Well, I can't decide what I loved the most about my conversation with Bonnie today. It's either her plethora of intentional habits that helped build a unified army out of her family, or her choice to approach everything with this positive and grateful heart. Either way, I hope you were encouraged by her words and are leaving here today with some fresh ideas to build your children up in the Lord. Before leaving, make sure you check out the show notes to today's episode so you can grab all the resources Bonnie mentioned. And be sure to follow Bible to School on Facebook, Instagram. Also, like and subscribe. I'll see you here next week as Corey and Lee reveal the second most important hour of your day. So until then, friends, remember, you can tell the kids in your life about the love of Jesus.